Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. Whether you're checking out this episode on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe below. Thank you so much for coming back into the show. Also, if you want to check us out audio only, just Google Sports Talk Chicago and it will pop up with your Apple podcast, your Spotify podcast, wherever you get them. And you can enjoy. If you're on the road right now, grip the wheel tight, because I am going to talk about the Chicago White Sox for a second. Every single time I do, I have a shiver down my spine. Every time I do, I promise myself that I'm not going to curse and I'm not going to scream, because we do have decibel levels here on the radio. I just want to hit one thing really quick. Now, depending on when you're listening to this episode, they are still cruising in their wonderful, admirable pursuit of the most losses ever in baseball history of the 20th century or the 19th century. Godspeed, Chicago White Sox. So who knows what loss number they're at right now, but I just wanted to comment on what Chris Getz said on a call during a Chicago White Sox game very recently. And to be honest with you, I can't believe he said it. I really can't. Now, we all know that they've been terrible. We've all seen, and if you haven't, there are plenty of shots and videos of people at Guaranteed Rate Field where you could probably count the number of attendants on one hand. I'm kidding, but it's in the hundreds. I don't know if they're even getting 1,000 fans at their home games anymore. Chicago White Sox are having a hard time winning home games these days. And the reports started trickling out that the Chicago White Sox are actually going to be cutting payroll next year because of the losses that they have accrued, setting the major league record for most losses in a season. Tell me I'm lying, but this sounds like a real grift to me as a White Sox fan. And the biggest problem is general manager Chris Getz won't even give us hope. He gets on an interview with John Triffin and Steve Stone during a White Sox game, and he lets us know that the Chicago White Sox are probably not going to be spending in the offseason. The cutting the payroll will probably happen, and that they need to see development from the production that is already on the roster. And I just have to say to Chris Getz, man, read the room, dude. We all get it that the White Sox aren't going to go out and sign Juan Soto, okay? They're not going to throw a bag at Corbin Burns. But for the love of God, man, can you at least give us some kind of hope? Can you at least let me dream? And I'm not even going to dream big. White Sox fans, I'm telling you right now, I could spin you a yarn about how if they went out and they got Gleyber Torres, or if they signed an Anthony Santander, or if they try to put big money towards Willy Adames, and when I say big money, like 100-something million, 110 million to Willy Adames, I could actually wrap my head around this team maybe being a 70-win team next year. And some of these prospects or some of these pitching prospects can actually come up and have a little bit of offense behind it to maybe engender some confidence and build some progress on your pitching staff. But no. No. Chris Getz, not going to be spending any money. The production has to come from within. I mean, this is going to be really tough, you guys. And I know some people are thinking, how could they possibly, they can't possibly do an encore and lose this many games again next year. Yes, they absolutely can. If Chris Getz is signaling to you now that he's going to do the same thing he did last year and bargain basement this thing and go around and sign dudes that honestly are fringe players or maybe not even guys that'll be on major league rosters, this is going to be terrible next year. Because sure, maybe he finds a couple of Eric Fetties that he trades at the deadline again, and we stock up on our farm system. Yay, hooray, great. But again, the bottom's going to fall out again, and it's going to be just as bad. And you have to explain this to me. Explain it to me like I'm 5 years old. If you're telling me that the Chicago White Sox are cutting payroll this offseason because the losses that they accrued from having a garbage baseball team that no one wants to watch here in Chicago, explain to me, how do we get out of this? Explain it to me. Because next year, if you put the same product on the field, and dare I say, even maybe an inferior product on the field, while you wait for some of these kids to come up and while these pitchers get their head kicked in as a rookie because there's no offense, no one's going to come out and watch that. It's pretty simple. So you just keep losing money, you keep cutting payroll until what, then maybe see, basically you're the Oakland A's and then you move to Nashville? Is that what you're trying to signal right now? I certainly hope not. I mean, Chris Getz's plan right now is trying to turn the Chicago White Sox into the garage sale of the major leagues. Oh, wow, look at this Paul DeJong lamp. Marked down. Very cool. Stained glass. I mean, come on, man. I understand that you're trying to build from within with the prospects that you have. You don't have any offensive prospects. You've got a couple of guys like Edgar Caro in your catching system that you might like. Colson Montgomery has not played well this year, but you would hope, fingers crossed, that he would get some sort of run next year. A lot of the guys that come up, I'm not super optimistic about. Lenin Sosa, Brian Ramos, maybe they turn into average major leaguers, but I haven't really seen it to this point. And Chris Getz has to understand here, man, there are real consequences to saying stuff like that on a telecast, that we're not going to spend any money and we need production from inside the organization next year. Production from an organization that is the worst in major league history. You have to understand how that sounds to a fan. You are not in your basement building your Legos and letting everyone look at it when the time is right. It's all out there for us to see now. There are things called dignity, progress, hope, and that means something to fans. And if you can at least be honest with the fan, but also tell them reasons why you think there could be progress and why there could be hope, you might get a few more people in the stands next year. But saying something like that now, as we are doing this death march to the worst major league record in major league history, that they're not going to spend money, that they're going to cut payroll, and the dudes that are already on the team just need to get better? What are you doing, man? I get that it's a baseball operation, but you have to sell the product, dude. And the fact that I can't even in December put my head down on a pillow and close my eyes and think about, well, gosh, you know, if they got a Gleyber Torres, and, oh, man, maybe if they brought in a James Paxton, and look, I'm playing fringe here, right? I'm not even getting pie in the sky. Anthony Santander was an example that the White Sox would never do, but if they did, they would be an improved baseball team. You can go around the fringes and sign 3, 4, 5 guys and at least not be as terrible as you were this year. They're in the 30s in the win column. I'm talking and pitching something along the 60s or the 70s. I mean, at least that's baseball that White Sox fans can wrap their heads around. Getting your head kicked in every single night and going to the ballpark because you think you want to see the future of Drew Thorpe, but Drew Thorpe's getting his head kicked in and they can't score any points on the board. What does that do for anybody? Yes, multi-year process. I get it. But guess what's not happening next year? These prospects are not ready. They're not coming up, and they're not going to produce. So in the meantime, and this is what always bugs me about Major League Baseball, is that when they're trying to sell you this tankathon and this process of we're going to build the organization up, these organizations refuse to spend money on players to at least make the team competitive in the meantime, in the short term. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You want to bring up some of these pitching prospects? Great. Why don't you put at least a 25 home run hitter into your lineup that can at least soften the blow and maybe get them a couple of wins along the way, build some momentum and some confidence in a kid? But they refuse to do that. Because it's a waste of money. Why would I spend all of this money just to create a 70-win team? Well, it would help you at the box office a little bit. But the White Sox don't care about that, right? They just care about it until it's convenient. That, oh, poor us. The losses that we've accrued during this time means that we can't spend. It's BS at its finest. The White Sox could, at the very least, go out and get Tyler O'Neill from the Boston Red Sox. You might remember him from the St. Louis Cardinals. The dude hits bombs, all right? He's at least a reason to go to the ballpark. He will not cost a ton of money. It's the least that they could do, but they won't. And they'll just keep saying, well, we can't spend money because no one comes to the park. No one comes to the park because your team is garbage. Your team is garbage because you don't spend money on the thing. It's a snake that eats its own head. It's a great grift. And as much as I'd like to think Chris Getz knows what he's doing and he's got the right people in place and in 3 years we're going to start to see the fruits of this labor, how many losses are we going to pick up in the interim? how many losses do the White Sox fans have to take? How many insults from other franchises and other cities do they have to incur? I'm a both guy. I love the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll get to the Cubs in a second. But how many insults are the Cubs fans going to lob over at the White Sox? These are good fans. They are passionate. They are loyal. But you know what? They smell a grift when they see one, and they're not going to go to the ballpark until you change that tune. Chris Getz, in a horrible PR move, already has told us what to expect next year. More of the same and possibly worse. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk Chicago. We're coming right back. I am Joey Christopoulos. Stick around. Tune in. We'll be right back.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
On the other side of town, Chicago Cubs, look, they're probably going to finish over 500. They might possibly even beat some of their win expectancy, which anywhere you look was 80.5 to 82.5. They might get over that. They definitely played better in the second half. There was a time this season when they were 8-9 games under 500. They've rallied around that. And there have been some good things that have happened heading into the end of the season. I mean, of course, now that it doesn't really matter, we see some guys hitting, whoop-de-doo. Michael Busch got to 20 home runs. That's great. Cody Bellinger right now is white hot at the plate. And I think the question of whether he'll opt in or opt out will definitely be a topic here on the show and something that will, you know, I think will be definitely debated in the weeks to come. The big one for me, there's two of them. And let's just start in the present and then we'll move to the future. The one in the present right now is that, man, I've got to give it up to PCA. Pete Crow Armstrong. Got to give him a ton of credit. This guy was below the Mendoza line. I think he was in the 180s, definitely in the 190s for the first half of the season. Dude has completely turned it around. Got his average up in the 240s. Hitting the ball with authority. Almost has his slugging percentage above 400, which honestly, it was that was a tough mark to get it up to the way that he played through the first half of the year. Dude steals bases, plays a great center field, driving in runs. I do like it. He's been hitting the ball to the opposite field. It's not just all pull stuff. And looks a lot better at the plate, playing with confidence. This is awesome. My big thing is, can you keep it up, right? I think we've seen this before, not just from a guy of the type of player like PCA, but, you know, we've seen strong finishes from Frank Schwindel. Let's give him first base next year. You know, we've seen this type of thing before, and you want to give a guy some more run, and it just doesn't seem to work out. So I want to be really hopeful if they can lock into the PCA that we have now moving forward in the next couple of years. It's a great trade by Jed Hoyer. And you can just lock up center field for the next 4 or 5 years. And defensively, he's definitely going to win some gold gloves. I think that that is great. Not a sure thing, though. I guarantee you that the front office, the Cubs front office, is going to pitch to you that it's a sure thing. Because heading into this offseason, man, I think this is going to be make or break for Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, and a lot of good people that probably work in that front office. And we might hear some of the softening with the Tom Ricketts, who loves his little Arizona Diamondbacks, who, by the way, real quick, sorry, side tangent to my point here. Keep in mind, folks, that heading into spring training, when the Chicago Cubs didn't spend really on anybody, didn't get a closer, finally got deals done with Imanaga after his money came down, got deals done with Cody Bellinger, and his money came way down. They got bargain deals on that. After that happened, I'll never forget Tom Ricketts going to spring training and talking, just fawning over the Arizona Diamondbacks and how their payroll and what they were able to get out of it with their young players, and then they went to the World Series. Basically saying, wow, look at them. Wouldn't it be cool to be them? Well, not. You're the behemoth Chicago Cubs. You should never have to pinch pennies and play around the margins to be a competitive team. Lo and behold, though, after he says that. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they went out and they spent a ton of money. And guess what they're doing? They're leading the wild card right now. They've already got 90 wins. Chicago Cubs did not push their chips to the middle of the table. They basically ran it back with Imanaga and Michael Busch. Great. What's that going to be worth? 2-3 more wins? The Arizona Diamondbacks brought in 4 or 5 guys of significance. Eugenio Suarez right now, their third baseman. He's got over 90 RBIs, 26 home runs. I'm not saying, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I get it, but that's a third baseman right there. Chicago Cubs still trying to sort of figure that out, right? This is huge for Jed Hoyer moving forward. His job is on the line. They have to make the playoffs next year, and it is going to be really interesting to see. I'm guessing right now they're going to try and do it through trade. But what they really need to do is they need to do it through money. And just pulling up some guys here, there are some interesting people on the free agent list. Now, there's two things that the Chicago Cubs need. They need it in the pitching and they need it in the offense, but it's all one and the same. They need star power. The team is littered with very solid, good players, but there's no headliner. It's a team of openers, no headliner. There's no U2. There's no Tom Petty. There's no Green Day. It's all opener, 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 opener. Seiya's a good player. Is he a star? No. Can he make an all-star team? Probably. Same thing with Ian Happ. Good player. Not a star. It's okay. Cody Bellinger, he's making money like he should be a star, but he's probably right a tier underneath that. Very good baseball player. They have tons of good baseball players. They need stars on their team. They need one in the pitching staff, and they need one in the lineup. Let's start with the pitching staff. There are some names out there. I don't really know if these are necessarily stars. The one definitely headliner is Corbin Burns. Do the Cubs have the stones to go after that one? He's 30 years old. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's definitely going to be 6 years. Definitely going to be over $200 million. He definitely will be the highest paid Chicago Cub if he signs. We'll see what happens. I have my doubts. There are some other guys along the list that make sense for the Chicago Cubs to not spend a ton of money to bring someone else in there. I do like Walker Buehler if he's healthy. Do you roll the dice on a Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander if healthy? You know, we'll see. Again, I don't think you're getting top shelf, front of the rotation type stuff from them. A guy like Charlie Morton, who still continues to pitch at a very high level, even at his age, which is getting towards 39, 40 years old. Max Fried's out there. Jack Flaherty's going to command a huge contract. He's pitched extremely well. That would be definitely an intriguing one. Blake Snell, going back to the market, intriguing. Luis Severino. The one that's probably going to happen is Shane Bieber, right? A lot of rumors in the offseason about the Chicago Cubs going after Shane Bieber. Now he'll be on the open market after an injury. They'll probably get him on the cheap. Hooray, good job, Jed. And they'll roll it forward like that. In terms of the closers right now, I don't really know what to tell you. I mean, if you want to do a Kenley Jansen, I'm definitely getting up there in age. Not quite the closer that he used to be. You know, you could roll the dice on that just to get you through the season, but I think his best years are behind them. If you want a real deal lockdown closer right now, I don't really think that there's one in the market unless you have to do it through trade. So speaking of trade, offense, I'm just going to lay it out here like this before we get out of here. You know, I would love the Chicago Cubs to go after Juan Soto. I don't have high hopes for that. The Chicago Cubs front office, Ricketts, Jed Hoyer, they have drilled it into me that they are never going to do something like that. And it's really sad. And it's a total cop-out because we are the Chicago Cubs. We make tons and tons and tons of money. You know, when Theo came in, they did say that when the moment was right, we were going to strike. The moment never came. They keep kicking it down the road. Now these contracts keep getting richer and richer. And now they don't have the appetite for it. So they missed the train on that one. Juan Soto's probably out. Pete Alonso, look, I just think Pete Alonso is going to probably cost too much money for my taste and the Chicago Cubs taste. I could see them possibly doing it. What do you then do with Michael Busch? Does Pete Alonso become a full-time DH? And then you've got a situation of Cody Bellinger opts in. There's a lot to do there. The one that I want, the one that's highest on my list, the one that I think is the most reasonable for Cubs fans to hope for and expect, because I think that the Chicago Cubs would also be able to fit this into their financial framework for right now, is they have to go after Vlad Guerrero Jr. with everything they got this offseason. Give them everything you got. Now, there's some people that say, don't trade your precious prospects. Well, in my opinion, I think that you can take a little bit off of the major league roster and a little bit off the minor league roster. You don't have to give up your best prospects necessarily to get this deal done. I'm just throwing names out there. But if you said to me, if you could put a package together of Michael Bush and, say, Javier Assad and something else, would that get the deal done for Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to be 26 years old next year. He is an amazing hitter. He is exactly what the Chicago Cubs team needs. They need more hitters that have an OPS over 800. They only have one right now. It's Seiya Suzuki. Ian Happ's right on the cusp there, right at 800. But we need guys over 850. You need at least two of them in your lineup. Seiya can be that other guy. Vlad can be that other guy. What if I offered you this? Owen Casey, who is from Canada, could also be a headliner in a type of deal. Would they be interested in Isak Paredes? Because when you trade Vlad Guerrero Jr., you also have to understand, Cubs fans, that Toronto has to sell something back to their fan base. So if you're telling me they could either sell them a bunch of prospects or they could sell them major league ready players that'll help them compete while also getting something for the future, I think that's something that you can sell to the Toronto Blue Jays fan base. The other one, too, as well, is that if you trust Bob Nightingale, there are five teams right now that are going to be going after Juan Soto. The Toronto Blue Jays are going to be one of them. So if they go after Juan Soto, you could easily say to them, well, we're going to switch out Vlad, bring in Juan, bring in other players on top of it. I can wrap my head around that from a Toronto Blue Jays perspective. And the Chicago Cubs could get a real deal player. A dude that can hit tape measure home runs, something that we haven't seen in a long time in Wrigley. We know we love our bombs at Wrigley. And I really think that they have to go with a big swing along those lines. If you're telling me this offense just goes and gets Logan O'Hop from Anaheim and tandems him with Miguel Amaya, and that's the only thing they do to this offense, it is a disservice to Cubs fans, and honestly, it's probably going to cost Jed Hoyer his job. And I think that he knows it. So you have to ask yourself, this offseason for the Chicago Cubs, it is the season that they need to go into the luxury tax. They need to start that process. You give yourself a 3-year window to do something with this team, and you have to go for it now. Because 3 years from now, if you shortchange this thing, Jed's going to be out of a job. We'll see about Craig Counsell, and a lot of these guys are going to get moved on from, and we're going to be in a whole new rebuilding situation. I'm not saying the team that's built right now is built for competitive World Series-type contention. But I'm saying if you add, easier said than done, if you add a star quality player in your offensive lineup or in your pitching rotation, I think things can turn really quickly for this Cubs team. And then the next 3 years, you're really competing for the real deal stuff in Major League Baseball. But you have to dive in. You have to commit. Go over the luxury tax. Trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr. Sign him to a long-term deal. Let's be honest, a lot of these guys, the Ian Happs, the Seiya Suzukis, those contracts are going to expire during the time that you sign Vlad Guerrero's deal. The money will come back. We'll see what happens with Cody Bellinger. If he opts out, I'm fine. We will figure out different ways to spend that money, but you need to spend that money on quality, star quality players. Not this fringe stuff. Not this middle of the road. Not this depth stuff. You got to go all in, and you got to go for it. It's the only way. And if you're the Chicago White Sox, don't know. Hope and pray. Hope and pray, because your general manager just told you that he's not spending any more money, and he thinks that the worst major league team in major league history is going to get better from within. I can't wait to see how he sells that one to the fan base next spring training. But baseball in Chicago deserves better. The Chicago Cubs, I'm telling you, I think that they are close, but the way that it's constructed right now, they are far away, if that makes any sense. They make a couple of moves, a couple of big, bold moves. I think that they're right in it very, very quickly, and it opens up a window of 3 years of really some high contention in Major League Baseball, specifically just in the National League, just to get to the World Series. That's going to do it here on Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. On our STC feed, I want to also give a quick shout-out to 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, Jed TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, WROK in Rockford, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. Make sure you check us out on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Or if you want to just check out our audio-only podcast, Google Sports Talk Chicago. It'll come up on Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. We will be back soon. Take care. Sports Talk Chicago is out.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.